Hi, I'm Bill Arnold with George Fraser.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks for checking out this podcast, A Real Recovery. You can hear the show live Sundays at 5 p.m. This, as well as many other podcasts, are available to listen to while you take a walk or do whatever you want to do. The address is myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Hello, everybody, and thanks again for tuning in. We're on our way to another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. So we are delighted that you are on board with us tonight, whether it was by accident or on purpose. Either way, we'll take it. Bill Arnold on this side of the studio, across the way, George P. Fraser. I believe I'm the only one who knows what the P stands for, and I'll keep it that way. How are you, George?
I am doing very well, Bill. We have Alex tonight, too.
Alex is on the board. Hello,
hello.
Alex.
Hello.
Alex. Do you know that when people call George after 8:30 p.m., the first thing they say is, did I wake you?
I believe that.
Yeah. That's just, George, that's just what you do. You
well,
go to bed
I
early.
I don't answer. I got caller ID when you call, so.
Oh, bingo. So, George, we have a great show tonight. We have Jason Ferris in studio tonight. He's got an incredible story that we're going to bring out a little bit later. But we've got some other things we want to talk about, and let's get started. George, I got a few questions for you. Don't we always have a little bit of unresolved discontent in our life? Isn't that something that is pretty steady in our brains?
I think it is.
All right, just we have discontent, right?
Unresolved discontent.
Well, let's just say discontent. Let's break it down. Let's start with discontent.
Okay.
So, safe to say you've got some in your life?
Yes.
Okay. So, and is it not resolved, is it?
Never will be.
Never will be. Okay. So there's something nagging inside of you. And I think as human beings, we all know that we aren't what we ought to be. I think that's a premise to humanity, that we're not exactly what we think we ought to be. And we always feel like we need to cover for ourselves a little bit. We're always trying to puff ourselves up. We're always trying to give ourselves a little advantage in life, make things look and sound like they're not all that bad. But then what happens is you drift off into God substitutes.
Yes.
You look for things that can help blur some of the pain, and you look for ways to medicate. And that can turn into an addiction, which can turn into the destruction of your life.
Well, even if it doesn't turn into addiction, it gets us away from God, and it gets us more into ourselves. What do I mean by that? The unresolved discontent usually, Bill, is I don't get something that I think I want or should have. And then it snowballs after that when we don't get it. And it's all about us rather than maybe God doesn't want me to have this. Maybe this isn't God's plan for my life. And then we get away from that and go into the God substitute, and it does snowball.
Mm-hmm. And if you feel like you're an outsider from this conversation, or if you feel like you need to hear this conversation because you're struggling, then I say welcome to the gospel of Jesus, and he is the one that can set you free.
Correct.
You are correct, sir. So anyway, George, I've been thinking a little bit about what we need to do as people who are trying to rebuild their life. And it seems that as I'm thinking about your upcoming 30th, how many anniversaries? What's your number coming up, 40?
No, it'll be 30.
30.
Should be 37, but we needed to do some more research.
So in September, you've got your 30-year anniversary.
Hopefully,
now,
yeah.
Okay, now can I just say that is a lot of time under control. That is time that you have lived under control. You have done the work, and
well,
God has spared you.
God has. God gave me the desire to do it. I didn't want to do it.
And I get that.
He changed my heart and allowed it. But yeah, it's more than half my life. And it's been pretty good. It's been better than the using was. And every day I get closer to going home. So I'm kind of excited about that, too.
Well, don't write yourself off too soon.
No, but I know where I'm going.
We have this show. We have one next
golf
week.
Golf every
hopefully.
Day. Golf yeah, every day.
Yeah, but not good golf.
Not
no, good
where
golf.
I'm going, it's going to be good. Where I am now, it's not good.
No. But where it is good, you'll probably be a caddy or something.
I could be.
You'll be managing the putt-putt up there.
That's okay.
Yeah. But I want to get back to this idea of time under control. I want to think about, you know, because I'm so fascinated when I watch people, really highly conditioned athletes doing something really spectacular, whether it's watching a guy, you know, play in the Wimbledon finals, or you watch a gymnast and you see what they're actually doing and you go, this is a mastery of control mm-hmm. over their body that has come through intense training. And I think there is a lot of value for people struggling with addiction to know that there is you know, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Self-control can be one of those things that I believe can come into your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can start having more and more time under the kind of control that you're going to be celebrating in September 30 years.
Yeah, and we can tie that in with tonight's step, which is step three, where we made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understand Him. The reason we get into recovery, Bill, is because we are out of control. I can't do it. He can't do it.
You are out of control, exactly.
And I'm going to let him do it.
Right.
But we don't realize that most of the time that we're out of control. We just think we've got to go to plan B, maybe try a little harder, try this, maybe that'll work. You have to surrender. Now, we have to surrender. Jesus said you have to pick up your cross and deny yourself daily. Well, a lot of times you have to do it minute by minute. We have a choice now. When we're in active addiction, we don't have a choice. That's controlling us. But when that's stopped, every day you have a choice, all day long. Do I submit to the power of the Holy Spirit or don't I? And then we have the devil's out there, and he accuses us. And I think there's temptation, Bill.
I think the temptation
comes from God likes me enough that I'm going to get away with this. And then the accusations, the other end, that this time you really did it. I don't know about you. I need God's help every day. And so what I do when I get up, before I get out of bed, give me the power, strength, and desire to stay sober today.
Mm-hmm.
Left to my own devices, I'm not going to do well. So that control, really what we're doing is turning it over. And in step three, a lot of people come into recovery and they think, well, if I can just stop drinking, I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
No. If he's going to be savior of your life, he has to be lord over every aspect. And if we're willing to grow along spiritual lines, our Christian walk, the more mature we get, the more things we have to turn over.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that because stuff that, you know, used to bother us, didn't bother us, now does. That's the mark of spiritual maturity.
George, I want to look at 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 16. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Mm.
As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance.
Why are you looking at me with the ignorance comment? That was a little personal.
No, I thought it was perfect timing. Say the word ignorance, look at George. It's in my notes.
I was listening to a show called Live the Promise on this network this week.
Oh, here we go.
And there was a very engaging...
Cut his mic.
It was a very engaging guy talking about spending time in the Word. And that maybe you could do 3 verses a day.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like you, but it was way too good to be Bill Arnold. This was solid material.
Right.
But I think what your verse you just read is, let's spend time in the Word on this. We need to spend time with God to turn things over to Him, to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We got to spend the time.
Georgie boy, let's look at this again. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. What does that mean to you?
Well, there's
if you're
a
in
war
recovery,
out there.
It sounds like exactly what you say when you get up in the morning. Give me the desire and whatever that little thing is you say.
Power, strength, and
power,
desire.
Power, strength, desire.
and then I go in and make sure the coffee's running.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out there on my own. That doesn't work well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's good for me, and I don't know what I want. And at a bad part of my life, I think I do. I got this. Don't bother me, God. I can handle this. Pride comes before the fall. Let every man take heed lest he stumble. And every time I have really sinned badly, it's when I thought I could handle it and it wasn't a problem. Let's face it, Bill, there's a war going on for our souls and for our sobriety. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you're in recovery, Satan doesn't want your friends seeing you sober, that you can witness to the power of Christ in your life. Satan wants your relapse, and we don't talk a lot about Satan because it's just not cultural here, but
it is on this show.
He's out there.
Right.
And the Bible, I think it's Peter, also says, Satan roars around like a lion looking for somebody to devour. And I don't know about you, Bill, but the voices in my head start the minute I wake up with the idea of the day and accusing me of, you know, you're not that good, you're not worthy. I got to get into the Word right away and just turn it over.
Well, George, that's kind of how I started the hour when we talked about, you know, as humans, we don't know if we are what we ought to be. We don't think we're enough. We always think that we got to figure out a way to cover for ourselves. You know, we feel exposed. And I think that's why we become selfish and needy, and that's where addictions show up.
Well,
anyway.
And the truth is, we aren't enough.
No, I agree.
Apart from me, you can do nothing.
I agree. George, I got to take a sip of water. So I got a little thirsty here thing going. You look talking I've been doing. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're bringing on our guest, Jason Ferris. So glad you stayed with us tonight. More to come on Real Recovery. We'll be back in a minute. Frank there, Georgie. You like Frank?
You can't talk over Frank.
Sorry.
A couple guys are going to show up outside.
Leave it on there, Alex.
You don't know talk over Frank.
No.
Come on.
There we go.
Well done, sir.
Okay, pop quiz here, Alex. What is hotter, the surface of the sun or the center of the earth? What's hotter?
Center of the earth.
The correct answer is hell.
That was choice two.
And, you know, George, as we talk about, you know, recovering from addiction, we always have to talk about the other component, which is we're sinners in need of a savior. And it's really great if you can overcome and change your behavior. But if you're doing that without Christ in your life, you're still living with the substitute in life, and that's you.
You know, that's a great point. You can get sober and lose your sobriety. You can't lose your salvation.
I agree.
And what really good does it do outside of harm reduction if I stop a behavior and I don't develop a relationship with the living God?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're leaving a lot on the table, too.
Yeah.
Your heaven can start right now in the victorious life of John 10:10. I came to give you life, give it to you abundantly. That can happen right now. It's not about stopping a behavior, just as you say, Bill. It's about developing that relationship that regenerates you and you get to live the life God created for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
People need loving the most when they deserve it the least. And usually people struggling in addiction are driving people that they love away from them. And they're broken and they're sad. Mm. And it's getting lonelier and lonelier. And I think at the core of everything is, will I end up by myself?
Yes.
Yes.
So, and your actions kind of cause that to happen.
Yep. So God's incredible grace and mercy comes through and gives us life and abundantly.
It does. And yeah. That's
why my voice go up? I don't even know why my voice went up there, George.
Well, it was the Sinatra thing.
Yeah, that kind of fired me up.
Yeah, I think you're a little worried about cutting off the chairman of the board. Not a wise move. Hey, yeah. Alex, you glad to be on the show with that great question about the heat? I mean, you know, you've been gone 2 weeks. You were texting over there or something. And Bill got you. Won't do that again.
George, let's bring on our guest, our in-studio guest. We have with us
let's do that.
Jason Ferris, and he is... got quite a story. So, Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, first thing I noticed about Jason, what would be the first thing you noticed, George?
It's a big guy.
Okay, and?
He looks angry.
And
he's staring at you.
Yeah, but I can already tell he likes me better.
Oh, you'd have to.
Yeah.
He's young.
Yeah, he's young. And right before we went on, we were just chatting about getting started in chemicals. And... for you, it started at what age?
About 13, 14 years old.
Okay, and what was the drug that you started playing with at 13 or 14? What are you, seventh grade now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, I was smoking marijuana by that time already.
Okay.
But my first time using crank was when I was 14 years old.
And now crank is
methamphetamine.
Methamphetamine.
Yep. It was just the old stuff. They used to call it crank, bathtub crank.
Okay. And then did that, it sounds like from what you had mentioned, it brought on a pretty high level of despair pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Despair and hopelessness.
Well, I was already there with the despair and hopelessness.
Okay. Can you share about why?
I lived in a broken home. There was a lot of abuse.
Okay.
Between watching my mother being beat or myself being beat. You know, there was a couple times where I ended up in hospital.
From getting beat?
Yep.
Okay.
Or, you know, having scalding water poured over my hand and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just at my end.
Mm-hmm.
And turned to drugs. And
so you were real ready for a medication of some kind from the unbelievable pain at home.
Yep.
Okay. And then the hopelessness turned into something pretty desperate at a pretty young age.
Yep. My first attempt at suicide was when I was 14. I pulled a gun out of the case and was going to shoot myself, and it went off prematurely and actually hit me in the hand. So the neighbors went over to the neighbor's house and they brought me to the hospital, and you know, after spending quite a few days in the hospital, you know, 14 years old, they still didn't recognize it for what it was. You know, so I was just, once I got back out of the hospital and started healing and just went right back to doing what I was always doing.
No childhood here at all?
No, not much of one. I mean, there was, you know, I had a very loving mother. You know, she did love me very much. She loved, you know, both of us boys, all three of us. But she was stuck in a situation that she grew up in, and then it just transferred over. You know, she didn't know how to get out of it once she got into it. I don't blame her for the things that we went through as children, but at some point we have to all take responsibility for our own actions and move forward. So,
well, that's a novel concept, isn't it, George? Take
it
responsibility
is.
For our own actions and move forward. You know, so he's not going to play the victim. He's not going to stay stuck and paralyzed in his difficult experiences growing up.
Exactly. Yeah. How was school going for you at this? You got so many distractions going on.
I was, I'm dyslexic. So for me, reading and writing, math, horrible at math. I was in special ed classes and all that stuff. So school was not a good place for me. I ditched more than I was there, constantly being put on probation for truancy. And
welcome to Georgia's world.
Yeah, I got a friend who was a homeroom monitor, but the guy's a real dork. I was kind of in your camp.
Yeah, so.
What does that mean?
No.
Okay. sure, you've heard it before.
Oh, yeah, I've heard it before.
Okay. So you've got all this stuff going on, and so your only escape is really drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
And they work, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
What was the introduction to drugs? How did you get introduced to them?
Well, my brother and his friends pretty much introduced me to it. I remember sitting at the table when I was in fifth grade going into sixth grade, and we're all sitting around the table smoking cigarettes, drinking beer, you know, passing the joint around, and my mom come walking in the door from work early. And yeah, that was an ugly time.
I bet.
She was pretty mad.
I bet.
But yeah, you think I think it would have slowed down from there, but it didn't. It just kept getting worse.
So you have a suicide attempt. You end up in the hospital. There's no major wake-up call in the family system that says,
no.
Oh, boy, Jason's got to, we got to pay a little bit more attention?
Not at all.
Okay.
You know, and I never really opened up about it, you know, to my mom. I did go see a shrink when I was about 17, 18 years old, somewhere in there. And I opened up then, but I never opened up to my mom.
So you're living with secrets shoved under the rug.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and the rug's getting real bumpy.
Yeah, so, and then when I was 12, my little brother was born. And then, you know, I introduced him into it, too, at an early age. And, you know, we thought it was funny because we were babysitting all the time. You know, let's get the four-year-old drunk.
Did you have an older brother, too?
Yeah, an older brother, too. He's a year older than me, a little over a year.
Okay.
But he's the one that introduced me to the crank the first time.
Okay, so move us on into 17, 18, and have you started getting in trouble with the law?
Not so much. You know, I escaped trouble with the law a lot. I had my first child when I was 18. He's, you know, grown up now, obviously, but he's on the same path that I was on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's finally doing better now, but... Yeah, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. So 18 to 21, I was kind of mellow. It wasn't too bad. Had another kid during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 98, 99 is when I really started going off the rails. I started smoking meth, and once I started smoking it, then it was just downhill from there.
Okay, and how old were you when you started this rampage?
I was in my mid-20s.
Okay, so mid-20s, and now you're just on a crazy rampage.
Crazy rampage,
okay.
Yeah.
And let's go back to the beginning of the show, the unresolved discontent. Now, somewhere in the back of your mind, my guess is he had to think that there wasn't a normal family here, and I deserve better, and... Was there some underlying anger here with your use, some rage?
Oh, yeah, a lot. There was a lot. And, you know, for a long time I did blame my mom. You know what I mean? I blamed my mom, her boyfriend. I blamed my brother. You know, I blamed everybody except for myself.
What about God? Did you blame God?
I had a vision of God, of this mean kid on an anthill with the magnifying glass. That's what I seen as God. I've always had kind of a sense that there was a God, but I didn't think he really cared. So
how could he, if your life is what it is? If he was paying attention, wouldn't your situation be better?
Yep. And that's what I always thought.
Pretty easy conclusion to come to.
Yeah, especially when you're young and you don't have anybody trying to share the gospel with
right,
you.
Right, right. There's no one speaking any kind of truth of any kind into your life.
No.
You're trying to manage your own pain and chaos, aren't you?
Yep. And then, my dad came in back into my life at, 18. And by the time he was sober. And he was trying to, you know, preach to me all the time. And I still looked at him as, you know, you left me when I was 3. I ain't got nothing to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and over the years after that, I mean, he became a drug counselor. He actually was my brother's drug counselor, my younger brother, for a while. He became a pastor.
Wow.
And he really changed his life around. And when I was in prison in 2004, he got cancer and died. So I never got to actually talk to him after I was sober. And
you were in prison when he died?
I was in prison.
Did they allow
me to talk to him on the phone.
Okay, but you couldn't go to the funeral,
no.
Could you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was sad.
And what did you go to prison for?
Meth.
Healing?
Okay.
Possession.
Can we back up here?
Oh, yeah, we can back up
anywhere
you want
to
go.
And I don't mean to be disrespectful here.
No, not at all.
But I don't want to go by this.
Okay.
It is sad, but it's victorious. His dad was saved.
Yep.
You're saved.
Yep.
You're sober. Dad died sober. You're going to see him again.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a huge victory. And I just didn't want to slide by that because, yeah, it was sad.
Mm-hmm.
But God in his sovereignty and his plan, you know, works together, all things together for good for those that are following God. And I think that's really cool that maybe not here, Bill, it's going to get fixed, but later it will.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great story.
You know, I'm really excited about that. When Christ spoke to me and opened up my eyes, it all became clear as far as like my relationship with my father over the years, how bad and rocky it was and up mm-hmm. and down it was or whatever, that it was all for a purpose. You know, I mean, he spoke little seeds of truth into my life every time I see him. And I read, I'm reading a book by William Fay, and he says that you have to hear the gospel. Most people have to hear the gospel 7.6 times before they have an awakening. And for me, I think that was true.
Well, yeah, in the amends that we make, you know, step 9 where we make direct amends.
Yeah.
I messed up. I'm sorry. But here's what I'm doing now. And here's a guy with a changed life who, you know, died too early, obviously, but in victory and is with the Lord. It's a great story.
All right. Now, let me back up, George, because mm-hmm. I think you backed up when I was trying to make a point. So I'm going to return to my point now.
Can I back up again? Can I have a rebuttal
You can back up into the parking lot and just head out if you want.
I might back into a Prius right after the show.
Oh, wow. Well,
you know.
Yeah, anyway.
Back it up, Billy.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to just ask about the incarceration point.
Okay.
Because were you dealing drugs?
I was dealing a lot of drugs.
Okay.
I was stealing stuff.
So you had burglary charges?
I have, automotive theft charges.
Okay.
Stole a jet ski.
Okay.
Stole numerous vehicles.
Okay.
So between the time I was 29 and 33, I accumulated, I think it was 9 felony points.
Okay.
So in between that time, I went to prison too. So I got caught with some car thefts and the meth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting in Ramsey County Jail waiting for, you know, to be seen by the judge. And this was after I'd already got out on 20 years probation.
Okay.
And I got another charge and I went in to see the judge. And I told the judge, at some point during that period of incarceration, I had an awakening as far as, like, I just need to own responsibility for my actions because I wanted to change at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in front of the judge. I told the judge, it's like, you know, I'm guilty. Just want to execute my time and go to prison. I'll do, you know, I did all this. I want to just be done with it. And he didn't want to send me to prison. He's like, are you sure about this? He's like, this is, you know, your first time going to prison. This is your whatever. And he's like, I think you need to go back to your cell and sit on it and think about it and then come back and we'll talk about it again. So they sent me back to my cell, and next time I went back into the judge's chambers, I told him again, I just want to execute my time and go. And so they sent me to prison for 13 months to execute my sentence of the time that I had left. So I had already done, you know, almost, well, a little over a year.
Okay,
in
now
the county,
when you're in prison, had you come to the new relationship with Christ? You have not gotten saved yet.
Not gotten saved
yet.
So
I'm dying to find out the saved part, George.
You bet.
All right, so I got out of prison in 2005.
After serving 13 months?
Yep. And okay. I was doing good for about 9 months, and I ran into an old girlfriend, and she had some drugs, and one thing led to another. I was using again.
Okay.
Within a few months, I was just a complete wreck. I was doing things I never, ever would imagine I would ever done. That rage that you were talking about earlier truly came out then, and I was completely demonic. So in March of 2007, I was arrested for second-degree assault with a deadly weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I'm sitting in the jail cell in Washington County, and I got this guy. My little brother is in the same block with me, and one of his buddies kept coming up to me and telling me, you know, you got to come to this Bible study with us on Friday night. It's like, no, man, you can keep your God. I don't want him.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept bugging me. So finally it was like, all right, I'll go. Just leave me alone. And I was still waking up from the fog. I mean, my brain was just mush. I didn't have any real... I don't know. I just wasn't there. And Keith, the guy that was leading the Bible study from Woodbury Lutheran Church, he's going through the book of John. We're in chapter 14, and he had reached John 14:6, and Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And all the lights went off in my head. Everything just, like, came alive.
Mm.
And from that moment forward, I never had to study that verse. I never had to read it again. I knew it. I mean, it was sunk, ingrained so deep into my heart that I knew that that was truth. It was absolute truth. There was no turning back from that point on. And so the next day, Teen Challenge was coming into the jail. So I signed up to go and talk to Wendy. And first initial things, they're telling me that I wouldn't be able to go because of my record. And she believed in me and fought for me. And 8 months later, I was in Teen Challenge.
I love that. I don't know Wendy, but I'm sure she's like Gina, who I used to see.
Gina, I've known Gina for 20 years.
The people who carry the message and go in and carry the hope of Jesus into a dark place like jail. What a blessing that is.
That's a huge blessing. We're going to just take a very short break, George, and when we come back, you know, we're going to talk to Jason some more. We're going to hear the other side of the ledger. We're going to hear about the ways in which Jesus has been glorified through his life and ministry and what he's doing now. So you're not going to want to miss that.
I don't want to miss that.
No. Okay. You hear me over there, Georgie?
All right.
We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Real Recovery. See you in a minute. And his hand fell behind as his arm. Okay. We're back. George, life is a test. The good news is it's an open book test. You're not paying attention. Just nod. Just nod your head like a parakeet.
There
you go. I try to set up a bit, and you do nothing.
Well, I was reading what he had written me about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I'm passing notes.
I think he'll be safe. He just, you know, don't agitate him. You know, I think you're going to be just fine. Are we on?
Yeah, we're on. Okay. Yeah, we're talking to Jason Ferris tonight, and Jason has got an amazing story which started with addiction at a very young age, like 11. He started poking around with these substances and went on a rampage, went to prison, and then he heard the life-changing truth of John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That sounds like a pretty arrogant statement unless it's true. If it's true, it's not arrogant. And
right.
It just came alive in his mind. And that's the way the Holy Spirit will quicken truth to make it real. And it gives you the chance to understand truth and to have an opportunity to respond to Christ, because that comes through grace.
And
that's when you had your moment. And you seem to be very open to God's leading at that point.
Very much so.
And you
yes.
went to Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge for eight
yep.
months.
I went for a 60-day program.
Okay.
And graduated that, decided that it wasn't enough. So I went to the year program.
Excellent.
And then decided that wasn't enough and went on to the ministry school for another year.
Really?
Yep.
So you've already gone through all that? And
yep.
Yeah. So should we start talking ministry now, George?
I'd like that.
Yeah.
Gosh, what dedication to... I got 60 days to do this, okay? So I go through that. You know what? I think I need to do some more. Then you go for another year.
Yep.
And, Bill, I think there's another step God wants me to do. That's step three, turning over the control of your life to the call of God. That's what step three is all about. So pretty exciting.
Well, that's really exciting. I'd love to hear the way God has just absolutely taken your life and changed it, and now you're serving him. And you're not playing the victim card. You're not angry.
Yeah.
You've done nothing but laugh since you've gotten here, which is great. You've got an incredible, joyful spirit. And I think that is so powerful. We talk about Philippians 3:10 all the time, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. I would say there's a resurrection going on in your life, my friend.
Yeah. Mine came through Corinthians 5:17. All things have changed. Everything has become new. I'm a new creation in Christ. He totally turned me inside out and showed me how ugly I was. And, when I was arrested, I looked like a 60-year-old man. I didn't even look like myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was so skinny and strung out and just disgusting that I didn't even know who I was anymore. And then when he flicked on that light for me and then I went and started reading the Bible, man, I couldn't get enough. I just kept reading it and reading it and reading it. I read the New Testament like 9 times while I was sitting and waiting to go to Teen Challenge. And then when I was in Teen Challenge, you know, we do our regular program stuff where you have to do memory verses and you have to write notes on the books of the Bible. And, you know, I went above and beyond. I was a little bit of an overachiever on it.
Teacher's pet.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't get enough reading. I loved it, you know. I'm dyslexic, so for me, reading is difficult. And, man, I found a version of the Bible that I could just dig into and get going on. And, you know, it was a long road, but God opened up my eyes and my heart for it. And it just, everything turned around for me.
Isn't that funny? That was something that you'd probably normally push against, is
yeah.
sitting down and concentrating and reading. That's probably the last thing you want to do, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So God not only changes your heart, but has you develop an appetite for Scripture and
yeah.
reading the Bible.
Yeah, you know, and during my time in Teen Challenge, my oldest son and my oldest daughter had found each other on Facebook. I hadn't seen my daughter since she was 3, roughly, and... I mean, I pretty much did to her the same thing my dad did to me. And they contacted each other, and she sent a message with my son to tell me happy birthday on my birthday. And I thought he was talking about my daughter, Alex, and he's like, no, Sam. It's like, and, you know, and he just kept going with the conversation. And it was like, hold on, you need to back up. You just hit me with a 2x4. And, it's like, how have you been talking to Sam? And, you know, and since then, me and all my kids have reconciled our relationships. And, you know, we have our ups and downs, but, man, God did wonderful things for me while I was in Teen Challenge. I mean, he really changed my life around.
That's what he does.
Absolutely.
And aren't you grateful?
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and I married Sam's mom back in November now. We got back together, and, you know, now me and her are married, and we're raising her two children and my youngest daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So
right away, I want to just get back to the conversation, but for some reason, I just felt compelled to ask you to speak to who's driving in the car right now, who's probably got, a kid that's really causing grief and struggle, and these parents might be really tense that there's a kid is just getting off the rails. And you were that kid.
Absolutely.
You were that kid so far off the rails. And you will be a comfort to tell people who are listening right now that there's hope, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And, and the hope doesn't always come through the parent. It most often comes through somebody from an outside source. And, for me, it was my dad constantly whispering in my ear every time I'd see him. He'd try to, let's pray. Be like, I don't want to pray with you. Let's pray anyway. So it'd be fine. Like, let's just get it over with. But that was dropping little seeds in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then here and there, running into people. Like you mentioned Gina earlier, she seen my son at his school and talked about Teen Challenge. Well, that planted a seed in him where I was in jail, and he's like, Dad, you ever think about Teen Challenge?
Mm.
You know what I mean? So all these little seeds, it's easy for the parents to want to give up because it's so frustrating when we're hard-headed and don't want to listen to our parents, but don't give up. I mean, they need to hear it. They need to hear the love of God from every source possible until it sinks in.
Okay, what are some of the ministry opportunities you've been enjoying now that you're on the side of life?
Well, I've gotten to speak at a few different engagements. Like, there was the jail ministry stuff that mm-hmm. they asked me to come speak. And while I was there, a lot of the guys who spoke into my life while I was in Washington County Jail were all sitting at the table in front of me, and it was just like an overwhelming, beautiful experience. So that really like got me going to where I really wanted to stay involved in the ministry. And so I got involved with the church. I was going to some meetings here and there, but mostly just focused on church. And so through all this time, God's been like laying on my heart, you need to do something more. You need to do something more. So I went to an NA meeting with my son. And while I was there, there's so much pain and sorrow in that room. It's like, there's got to be more. I mean, there's some who find God in the 12 steps, and I love the 12 steps. They've mm-hmm. done, they do wonderful things, but there's got to be something more to discipleship. And so God laid it on my heart to start pushing forward with a new kind of recovery meeting. So in September, we're launching Uncommon Grace Recovery through Recreation and at my church. And we're just going to tear apart the Bible and see what we can find in Scripture that will help us become more responsible, fruitful followers of Christ, and go out and do what we're supposed to be doing and not sitting on our butts and filling up pews or sitting in a room and just talking to each other. Get out on the streets and start doing stuff. I ride with a Christian Motorcyclist Association, and we go out, and we talk to people all the time. I get so many questions about my colors. I mean, the other day I got asked, Christian gang? How are you in a gang and it's Christian? Well, it gave me a chance to share the gospel with this young lady, so.
It's not a gang, it's an association.
Big difference.
So, I'm looking for more and more ways to get involved, more and more ways to speak into people's lives. I've had so many people speak into my life. Seth Evans is one of my most favorite people in the world. He has given me such strength and hope.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I was in Teen Challenge and I was struggling, I was having my ups and downs, he was always my steady rock that kept me going. And I've tried modeling myself a lot after him. And man, it's been good. God's doing some really good things.
Well, Well, if that doesn't work, you can try modeling yourself after George. And then if that doesn't work, you
can
try
me. He's got too much hair.
That's true. He's got that salon-style hair.
A lot cooler than Seth is. No, I love Seth, too.
I do, too.
Bill, what's exciting about this for me is we always talk about, at a very simplistic level, about making our recovery better than our using. And we tie in John 10:10 about the abundant life. There's nothing more exciting. And most addicts, crystal meth addicts, cocaine addicts like myself, we're adrenaline junkies. And there's nothing more exciting than sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people that are spiritually dead and physically dying. Fair?
Fair.
And so here he's got this motorcycle association, Bill. It's not a gang, with guys that offer opportunities to witness and fellowship.
Absolutely. All the time.
And people are asking you, hey, what's it about? You get to share Christ. And he's starting a recovery group at his church.
And
cool.
He's taking the church to the streets.
Yes.
Getting on the bike and going out and starting conversations. So we're going to ask him more about that, but we are going to take a little break. And when we come back, there is going to be more discussion. We're going to talk about your salon-style hair a little bit more. And then,
a lot of product today.
A lot of product. I can see that, George. I don't waste money
on
that.
I like your pre-commercial voice. It's very professional.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to Real Recovery. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Haley. By the time I was 17, drugs had completely taken over my life. Someone told me about Teen Challenge, and my life is brand new. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm drug-free.
Hey, guys, I'm Dara McClain. For more than 25 years, Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge has been helping people find a life of freedom. You can learn more at 612-FREEDOM or online at mntc.org.
Welcome back. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio. George, we got our big fall share-a-thon coming up, and we're excited about that. Thank you to all you listeners who faithfully support and make a difference in the kinds of programs that you enjoy and hopefully are growing in your faith from. So thank you very much for being supportive.
Absolutely.
Means a ton. Means huge.
I support. I know you know we all do. And there's so much good stuff on this network.
It's fabulous, and it's a great tool for biblical training and knowledge and inspiration and encouragement. And then there's our show.
Oh, we're on the greatest hits tape now.
I know we are. We're going to be on the CD.
They stiffed us the first year. I still haven't got it. Talk about unresolved discontent. I'm telling you.
You were in group therapy for about 18 months.
Still am. I got some anger issues.
Yeah. Got that voodoo doll of Neil.
And Dick.
Let's not go there. George, when we last left off, we were talking about how there is a fair amount of discontent. And even if you are in recovery and you're going to meetings and you're not using, there still might be incredible unrest in your heart.
Yes.
And I don't want to stop there. I want to go to Matthew 11 in verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Mm.
I think, okay, that's a promise, and that's a real promise, and God is not going to go back on that one. Jesus is saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. So the kind of rest that comes from Jesus is a one of a kind. John 14:27 says, it talks about peace, and the peace I give is not the peace the world gives. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid.
You bring up some excellent points. You were talking about John 14:6 earlier, I believe, about Jesus is the only way to the Father. If you're listening out there, and congratulations if you've stopped an addictive behavior with God's help, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you'll know that you don't have the peace that Bill is just talking about, because there's only one source for it.
Mm-hmm.
So a real acid test here on whether you have Jesus in your life might be whether you're at peace in your heart. Hey, you're going to have trials and tribulations. But there's that joy, Bill, that peace that passes all understanding that we have when we have Christ. And I know for me, when I get away from him, when I get out of sorts, it's because I've taken the ball back and I'm trying to control everything and everybody around. And we talked about step three, the unresolved discontent is to turn it over to the Lord. If you have a God substitute, that might be your support group, your recovery group, a higher power. Well, higher power doesn't exist. The highest power does, and that's Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And Jason was talking a little bit earlier about how he wanted to blame mom, blame brother, blame everybody. But he didn't really want to take that blame himself. And that was a big point for him when he said, you know what, I have to take responsibility here for my life because it is my life. And that's when he said, I can't do it, when he recognized that he was broken and in need of a savior and in need of answers and in need of truth. And when John 14:6 came rambling into his head, he knew that that was absolute truth, and that was a step forward for him. And that's a victorious story, which I can't get enough of. I just love it.
It's always good to hear that. The truth will set you free, and it did set you free indeed.
That it did.
And now he wants to share that with others. That's the other thing. If you have this, you want to give it away. You want to share it with everybody. So we're looking at a couple things. Maybe if I don't have the peace of God, I need to look at that and go, okay, why don't I? Well, who is my God? Let's start there. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the true God, Jesus, you're not going to have the peace. But if you do, you're going to want to share it, aren't you, Bill?
I couldn't agree more, George. And I'm racing to Colossians right now because this was something I was sharing with a friend today. And it Colossians, I think it's 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ.
Wow. Can you unwrap that a little? There's a lot there, and can you break that down in layman's terms for me?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of things you're going to hear, a lot of advice, a lot of counsel. A lot of it's going to be cheap talk. It's going to come from the secular world. It's not going to be rooted in biblical truth. And that is going to only delay your freedom from whatever it is you're struggling with. And it's only going to keep you away from Christ, not rooted into him. So you have to be very careful. You have to measure, like Paul and the Bereans, they have to take what they hear and measure it against God's word. And that's what we try to do on our show.
That is the ultimate grid. Let's make every thought captive to God's word. If I have a question on my behavior, I can look in the word.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to a Christian brother like you and go, hey, Bill, this is going on. What do you think? And a lot of times when I've done that with you, you've pointed me to the scripture. Pretty hard to argue with that. And gosh golly, sometimes I want to. Did I just say gosh golly? I haven't said that.
Yeah, what are you, Gomer Pyle all of a sudden?
Yep.
Turning me into Sergeant Carter. Pyle?
But isn't that true?
Yeah.
I try to negotiate with God. You can't do that with the scripture.
No, you can't.
You know, you look for loopholes and they're not there. Gosh golly, gee whiz. Let's get back to the program.
Well, try to take over after that little comment, George. I mean,
I like that scripture.
Yeah,
I do lot. Too.
I do, too. And I think there's a lot of worldly wisdom you will hear in certain meetings where they're not focusing on Christ, and Christ is not the answer. So that you have to be careful that you don't get off track.
True.
And you certainly had a lot of opportunities, Jason, to have Christ in your life, and you kind of shook your fist at him for years, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I didn't want nothing to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd hear little bits and pieces, and I just didn't care. There was no truth in it for me. There was no God that was taking care of me. There was no God that was make it, you know, magic eight ball effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I looked at, you know, everybody's God as, until, you know, Christ spoke to me personally through John 14:6, and then it was just, then I knew that the magic eight ball effect is just a complete lie, and you know, it's a fool's errand to believe that it works. You know, and grace is just abundant. There's his grace is just, it amazes me that he would take somebody like me. You know, and for a long time when I'm reading the scriptures and I'm going through the Bible and I'm still thinking, you know, how can, you know, woe to those who make these little ones stumble. You know, I got my brother high, I don't know how many times, you know what I mean? So
you got him drunk when he was 4.
Yeah, so to me, I'm looking at it like, how is he ever going to forgive me when I do this kind of stuff? You know what I mean? And through constant study of the scriptures, I finally figured it out that, you know, Paul was chief among sinners. If he can be saved, why can't I?
Amen to all that, George. I just said amen on our show.
Gosh golly, Bill.
Gosh golly. Boy. We're going to have to rethink this, George.
Hopefully we can edit that out.
Hopefully we can, because that would be a black eye on our broadcasting careers. Say that kind of stuff.
That'd be another black eye on our broadcasting careers, actually. I'm excited. I love hearing stories of that.
I do, too. That wraps up our hour, and I think it's another really wonderful testimony. What I love about people who struggle with addictions is they realize their brokenness, they see their depravity, and they know that something has to change and they need Jesus. And I tell you, I never tire of these stories, and that's why I love doing Real Recovery. And I hope that's why you like listening to it. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. We loved having you on board. We'll hopefully see you next week. Have a great week. Good night, everyone.
My name is Ephraim. I left from marijuana to powdered cocaine, from there to heroin, and I was about ready to give up when someone told me about Teen Challenge. I found real freedom through Christ.
Hey, I'm Chris August. If you or a loved one feels trapped by an addiction, Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge can help. They offer a variety of services whether or not you have insurance. You can learn more at 612-FREEDOM or online at mntc.org.
Hi, I'm Bill Arnold with George Fraser.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks for checking out this podcast, A Real Recovery. You can hear the show live Sundays at 5 p.m. This, as well as many other podcasts, are available to listen to while you take a walk or do whatever you want to do. The address is myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.